He slumped back on the bed and snorted impatiently. Frog Blood and Scum Nose were next to report. They bore news that cheered Clooney up somewhat. They'd obtained over 100 new recruits, mainly rats, but with a good scattering of ferrets and weasels and the odd stoat. There had been some who needed convincing. These had been press-ganged by a savage beating from Frog Blood, coupled with a threat of horrible death. They were soon convinced that the wisest course was to enlist in Clooney's horde. Others were hungry nomads, only too willing to join up with the infamous Clooney. They were greedy for plunder and booty, and pleased to be on what they were sure would be the winning side. Lined up in the churchyard, the recruits were supplied with weaponry by Red Tooth and Dark Claw. Impassively, they stood in ranks, awaiting the warlord's inspection. Clooney nodded his approval. Scurvy rats, hungry ferrets, sly weasels, bad stoats. Exactly what he needed.
"Read 'em the articles, Red Tooth," he snapped.
Red Tooth swaggered back and forth on the churchyard paving as he recited the formula from memory.
"Right, eyes front. You're in the service of Clooney the Scourge now, me buckos. Desert, and you'll be killed. Retreat, and you're under sentence of death. Disobey, and you'll die. I'm Red Tooth, Clooney's number one rat. You will obey the word of your captains. They take orders from me. I take orders from Clooney, remember that. Now, if any one, two, or a group, or even all of you together want to try and beat Clooney and lead the horde, this is your chance."
Without warning, Clooney charged headlong into the new recruits, lashing out wildly with his scourging tail. He bowled them left, right, and center with his massive strength. Baring his teeth and slitting his eye, he whipped fiercely away until they fell back and scattered in disorder, hiding behind gravestones. Clooney threw back his head and roared with laughter.
"No guts, eh? Ha! It's just as well. I don't want dead'uns on my claws before I find a proper battle for you to fight. And make no mistake, when the right time comes, I'll see you fight, aye, and die too. Now, raise your weapons and let's see if you know who your master is."
A motley collection of evil-looking implements was framed by the cloudless sky as wild cries rang out from the newly inducted recruits.
"Clooney! Clooney! Clooney the Scourge!"
Chapter 9. Abbot Mortimer and Constance the Badger meandered through the grounds together. Both creatures were deep in thought. Had they spoken and voiced their thoughts, they would have mentioned the same subject, the safety of Redwall. Down long ages, the beautiful old abbey had stood for happiness, peace, and refuge to all. Diligent mice tended the neat little vegetable patches which every season gave forth an abundance of fresh produce. Cabbages, sprouts, marrows, turnips, peas, carrots, tomatoes, lettuces and onions, all in their turn. Flower beds, heady and fragrant with countless varieties of summer blooms, from rose to humble daisy, were planted by the mice and husbanded by the hard-working bee folk, who in their turn rewarded Redwall with plentiful supplies of honey and beeswax. The two friends wandered onwards past the pond. Early morning sunlight glinted off the water, throwing out ripples from the fish caught by the overnight lines, which were baited and left adrift each evening by Brother Alf. Ahead of them lay the berry hedges. Raspberry, blackberry, bilberry, and the strawberry patch where every August sleepy baby creatures could be seen, their stomachs full after eating the pick of the crop. Gradually, they made their way around the big old chestnut trees into the orchard. This was the abbot's favourite spot. Many a leisurely nap had been taken on sunny afternoons with the aroma of ripening fruit hovering in his whiskers. Apples, pears, quince, plums, damsons, even a vine of wild grape on the warm red stone of a south-facing wall. Old Mother Nature's blessing lay upon a haven of warm friendliness. Now, with the threat of Cluny upon Redwall, the two old friends assessed the beauteous bounty of their lifelong abode. Sweet birdsong on the still air tinged Constance's heart with sorrow and regret that this peaceful existence would soon pass. Gruffly, she snuffled deep in her throat, blinking off a threatening teardrop. The abbot sensed his companion's distress. He patted the badger's rough coat with a gentle paw. "There, there, old girl. Don't fret. Many times in our history has tragedy been forestalled by miraculous happenings." Constance grunted in agreement, not wishing to disillusion her trusting old friend. Deep within her, she knew a dark shadow was casting itself over the abbey. Furthermore, it was happening in the present, not in bygone days of fabled deeds. Matthias seated himself to an early breakfast in Cavern Hall. Nut bread, apples, and a bowl of fresh goat's milk. Cornflower, along with the other woodland creatures granted sanctuary, was sleeping in makeshift quarters provided by the good mice of Redwall. Matthias felt that he had grown up overnight. Duty was a mantle that he had taken willingly upon his shoulders. If there were a threat to Redwall from outside, it must be dealt with. The mice of Redwall were peaceful creatures, but that must not be taken as a sign of weakness. Stolidly he munched away as he confronted the problem.
"Eat heartily, Matthias. No point in facing trouble on an empty stomach. Feed the body, nourish the mind."
The young mouse was surprised to see that old brother Methuselah had been watching him, his eyes twinkling behind the curious spectacles he invariably wore. The ancient mouse sat down at the breakfast table with a small groan.
"Don't look so surprised, young one. Your face is an open book to one of my years."
Matthias drained the last of the milk from his bowl, wiping cream from his whiskers with the back of his paw.
"Give me your advice, Brother Methuselah," he said. "What would you do?"
The old mouse wrinkled his nose.
"Exactly the same thing as you would. That is, if I were younger and not so old and stiff."
Matthias felt he had found an ally.
"You mean you would fight?"
Methuselah rapped the table with a bony paw.
"Of course I would. It's the only sensible course to take."
He paused and stared at Matthias in an odd manner.
You know there's something about you, young fella. Did you ever hear the story of how Martin the Warrior first came to Redwall?"
Matthias leaned forward eagerly.
"Martin? Tell me, brother, I love hearing about the warrior monk."
Methuselah's voice dropped to a secretive whisper.
"It is written in the great chronicle of Redwall that Martin was very young to be such a warrior. He could have been the same age as yourself, Matthias. Like you, he was impulsive and had a great quality of youthful innocence about him when he first came to our abbey. But it is also written that in times of trouble, Martin had the gift of a natural leader, a command over others far superior to him in age and experience. The chronicle says that they looked to Martin as some look to a strong father."
Matthias was full of wonderment, but he could not help feeling puzzled.
"Why do you tell all this to me, Brother Methuselah?"
The old mouse stood up. He stared hard at Matthias for a moment, then turning, he shuffled slowly off. As he went, he called back over his shoulder,
"Because, Matthias, because he was very like you."
Before the young mouse could question the old one further, the Joseph Bell tolled out a warning. Sandals flapping, Matthias dashed out into the grounds, nearly colliding with the abbot and Constance, who, like everyone else, were heading for the gatehouse. Brothers Rufus and George had an incident to report. A large, evil-looking rat, covered in tattoos and carrying a rusty cutlass, had turned up at the gate. He had tried to gain entry by pretending he was injured. Limping about, the rat explained that he had been in a haycart that overturned into the ditch. Would they come with him and render assistance to his friends, many of whom were lying trapped beneath the cart, crying out for help? Brother Rufus was no fool.
"How many rats were travelling in the cart altogether?"
he asked.
"Oh, a couple of hundred," came the glib reply.
Then why, reasoned Brother Rufus, did the rats not give aid to their own companions? Surely all 200 were not trapped? The rat evaded the question and made a great show of rubbing his injured leg. Could they not take him in and dress his wound, and perhaps give him a bite to eat, at least? Brother George agreed, on condition that the rat surrender his weapon. The rat made as if to do so, then suddenly lunged at Brother George, only to be sent sprawling by a blow from Brother Rufus's staff. Realizing that he was up against two big, competent mice who would stand no nonsense, he became abusive and bad-mouthed.
"Ha! Just you wait, mice," he raged. "There's a whole army of us camped down in the church. When I tell Clooney how you treated me, ho, ho, just wait, that's all. We'll be back by the fang, we will."
With that, he slunk off, cursing all mice. The grim news was digested in silence by the assembled creatures. Mrs. Church Mouse began sobbing,
"Oh, dearie me, did you hear that, me dear? They must be living in our home at St. Ninian's Church. Oh, whatever shall we do? Our dear little home full of dreadful rats."
Mr. John Church Mouse tried to comfort his wife as best he could.
"There, there, hush now, missus. Better to lose a house than lose our lives. A good job we got sanctuary here at Redwall."
"But what about the other creatures in the area?" cried Matthias.
"Sensible mouse," said Constance. "Is Ambrose Spike anywhere about? He'd better do the rounds and tell them to take sanctuary here at the Abbey as quickly as possible. Spike'll come to no harm. Once he curls up, there's nothing can touch him."
This idea was greeted with enthusiasm. Brother Alf went off to find the hedgehog. The abbot suggested they all go inside the abbey and await further developments. Matthias piped up again.
"We'd best mount a guard on the walls."
One of the older mice, Sister Clements, chided Matthias as an upstart. Her voice was stern and condescending.
"Novice Matthias, you will be silent and do as your abbot commands."
Much to everyone's surprise, the abbot came to Matthias's defense.
"One moment, Clements. Matthias speaks sense. Let us hear what he has to say. We are none of us too old to learn."
All eyes were turned on the young mouse as Matthias heard himself boldly outline his plans for the defense of Redwall. It was 11 o'clock on that glorious June morning. Mossflower Wood and the meadowland stirred to the brazen voice of the great Joseph Bell. John Church Mouse heaved on the bell rope as he had been told to by Constance and Matthias. Bong, boom, bong, boom. Even the small creatures in Wooden Field, who could understand no language save their own, knew what it meant. Time of danger. Place of sanctuary. Carrying what simple belongings they needed, woodlanders and their families hurried from far and near to gain the safety of the abbey before the storm of Clooney broke upon them. Squirrels, mice, voles, moles, otters, all save the birds of the air, who were safe anyway. Up the long, dusty road they came, mothers protectively herding young ones, while fathers provided a rearguard. Brother Methuselah stood at the gate with the abbot. He translated fully to each group of creatures the abbot's message, in turn construing back to the Father Abbot their grateful thanks with pledges of help and loyalty to Redwall Abbey. For what creature had not been freely given the aid and special knowledge of the kindly mice? All knew that they owed their very existence to the abbot and his community.
Healing, aid, food, shelter, and good advice were granted to all. Now was the time to unite and repay, to give any help that was possible. Before much longer, Redwall would require the skills and knowledge of all its woodland allies. They would be gratefully given. Matthias and Constance stood on top of the high perimeter walls, watching the road. It was noon, and the sun shone directly overhead. Despite the heat, Matthias had ordered all the mice to put on their hoods. It served a double purpose: to shield their eyes from the sun and create a camouflage effect. Silently, each one stood, armed with a stout staff. The high red sandstone walls were far too lofty to be scaled by any normal creature. Instinctively, Matthias knew this was a good defense and a formidable deterrent. Constance could feel her hackles beginning to prickle. She sniffed the air and shivered despite the heat that shimmered in waves across the meadowlands. The big badger nudged Matthias. "Listen to that." Matthias pricked up his ears and looked at her, questioning. "Even the birds have stopped singing," Constance said quietly. The young mouse gripped his staff tighter. "Yes, it's the silence we can hear. The grasshoppers have gone quiet." Constance peered down the road as she spoke. "Strange for a summer day, little friend." Bong! Every creature standing on the ramparts twitched with fright as the loud voice of the Joseph Bell rang out, and John Churchmouse shouted from his position high in the belfry.
"They're coming! Down the road! I can see them! I can see them!"
Chapter 10. Cluny's army halted at the sound of the Joseph Bell. As the dust settled, Fangburn looked to his leader for approval.
"They're ringing that big bell again, Chief. Ha ha! Maybe they think it'll frighten us off."
The warlord's eyes rested balefully on his scout.
"Shut your mouth, fool. If you'd done as I ordered and come right back to report the way Cheese Thief did, we might have been inside that abbey by now."
Fangburn slunk back into the ranks. He hoped Cluny had forgotten, but Cluny rarely forgot anything on a campaign. The element of surprise had been lost. Now he must try another ploy, the show of force. The mere sight of a fully armed horde had worked before, and he had little doubt it would prove effective now. Ordinary, peaceful creatures were usually panic-stricken at the sight of Cluny the Scourge at the head of his army. The rat was a cunning general, except the times when his mad rage took control of him. But what need of berserk fits for a bunch of silly mice? Cluny knew the value of fear as a weapon, and Cluny was a fearsome figure. His long, ragged black cloak was made of bat wings, fastened at the throat with a mole skull. The immense war helmet he wore had the plumes of a blackbird and the horns of a stag beetle adorning it. From beneath the slanted visor, his one eye glared viciously out at the abbey before him. Matthias's voice rang out sharp and clear from the high parapet.
"Halt! Who goes there?"
Red Tooth swaggered forward and took up the challenge in his chief's name as he called back up at the walls.
"Look well, all creatures. This is the mighty horde of Cluny the Scourge. My name is Red Tooth. I speak for Cluny, our leader."
Constance's reply was harsh and unafraid.
"Then speak your peace and be gone, rats."
Silence hung upon the air while Red Tooth and Cluny held a whispered conference. Red Tooth returned to the walls.
"Cluny the Scourge says he will not deal with badgers. He will only speak with the leaders of the mice. Let us in, so that my chief may sit and talk to your chief."
Red Tooth dodged back as his request was greeted by howls of derision and some loose pieces of masonry from the ramparts. These plump little mice were not as peaceful as they first looked. The rats looked to Cluny, but he was eyeing the abbot who had joined Constance and Matthias. They appeared to be consulting quietly. Cluny watched tensely. There seemed to be some disagreement between the old mouse and his two advisers. They conferred a while. Then Matthias came forward to the parapet. He pointed at Cluny and Redtooth with his staff. "You there, and you also. My abbot will talk with you both. The rest must remain outside." The rumble of protest from the horde was silenced by a crack from Cluny's tail. He lifted his visor.
"We agree, Mouse. Let us in."
"But what about hostages for safe conduct?" hissed Redtooth.
Cluny spat contemptuously.
"Don't talk fool's talk. Do you imagine a load of mice in funny robes could take me captive?"
Redtooth gnawed anxiously on a split claw.
"Maybe not, Chief. But have you cast a weather eye over that badger?"
Cluny answered quietly out of the side of his mouth.
"Don't worry. I've been watching her. A real big country bumpkin. No, these are mice of honour. They'd sooner die than break their word to anyone. You leave this to me."
As Cluny and Redtooth made for the gatehouse door, Constance shouted,
"Put down your weapons, rats! Throw off your armour to show us that you come in peace."
Redtooth spluttered angrily.
"Hell's teeth! Who does that one think she's ordering around?"
Cluny shot him a warning glance.
"Quiet. Do as she says."
Both rats took off their armour and placed it in a pile on the road. Matthias cried down to Cluny,
"If you really are Cluny the Scourge, then we know of your tale. It's a weapon. Therefore, you will knot it tightly around your waist so that it cannot be used."
Cluny laughed mirthlessly. He squinted at Matthias and cracked his tail dramatically.
"Young mouse," he called, "you do right to ask this thing, for truly you are looking at Cluny the Scourge."
Having said this, he took his tail in his claws and pulled the poison war spike from its tip. Tossing it on the armor pile, Cluny hitched his tail in a knot around his middle.
"Now, will you let us in, mice? You can see we are unarmed."
Ponderously, the heavy gate inched open. The two rats passed through a bristling forest of staves. The gate slammed shut behind them. Cluny mentally estimated the walls to be of immense thickness as he and Redtooth, ducking their heads, emerged from the tunnel-like arch into the abbey grounds, where Constance and Matthias were waiting in the sunlight. The defenders followed the two rats closely, menacing them with staves. Matthias rapped out a curt command.
"Leave us, mice. Go back to your duties on the wall."
Unhappy at leaving the abbot unguarded, the mice hesitated to obey the order to withdraw. Cluny addressed Matthias scornfully.
"Here, mouse. Watch me shift 'em."
Suddenly he whirled upon the apprehensive creatures. The single eye rolled madly in its socket as Cluny bared claws and fangs, snarling,
"Ha ha! I've got a powerful hunger for mice. You'd best get aloft on those walls. Ha ha!"
Cluny leaped into the air. The mice scattered in panic. Constance stopped the proceedings with a loud, angry bark.
"Here now! Enough of that rat! You are here to talk with the abbot. Get along with you."
Matthias was glad he was walking behind the rats. He blushed with shame. Cluny had sent the defenders scattering like butterflies in a whirlwind. Matthias was furious. The enemy now knew he was dealing with untrained and untested soldiers. As the party walked towards Cavern Hole, Cluny could sense hostility emanating from the young mouse, who flip-flopped behind him in over-large sandals. Strange for one so young to be counted as a captain, he thought. Moreover, the little fellow didn't seem to fear him. Ah, but enough of that. Cluny would deal with him when the time came. Meanwhile, the big rat gazed about his surroundings in secret admiration. What an astounding place. He allowed himself a peek at the future. One day, this would be called Cluny's castle. He liked the sound of that. Secure from attack, living off the fat of the land, in his mind's eye he saw it all. Those mice and the woodland creatures enslaved, living just to serve him. He would hold sway as far as the eye could see. Power, an end to his rovings, a dream come true. King Cluny. Entering the abbey, the party stopped to make way for a pretty little field mouse bearing a tray.
"Oh, Matthias," she said, "I've brought some refreshments for you and..." "Thank you, Cornflower. Put them down on the table," said Matthias abruptly.
Redtooth nudged Cluny.
"Cornflower, eh? Satan's nose, she's a pretty little one for you."
Cluny remained silent. He stood insolently, watching Cornflower set the table in Cavern Hall. A pretty one indeed. The abbot indicated chairs. They all sat, except Cluny, who lounged against the table using the chair as a footstool. He glared at Redtooth until he stood and waited alongside his chief. Idly, Cluny picked up a bowl of honeyed milk and sampled it. Slop. He spat it out on the floor. The abbot folded his paws into the wide sleeves of his habit and stared impassively at the warlord. "What do you want at Redwall Abbey, my son?" Cluny kicked the chair over and laughed madly. As the echoes died around the room, his face went grim.
"Your son? Ha! That's a good one. I'll tell you what I want, Mouse. I want it all, the lot, everything. Do you hear me?"
Matthias's chair clattered on its side as he sprang forward, breaking free from the restraining paws of the abbot.
"Listen, Rat, you don't scare me. I'll give you our answer. You get nothing. Now, do you understand that?"
Shaking with fury, Matthias allowed himself to be pulled back onto the chair. The abbot turned to Cluny.
"You must forgive Matthias. He is young and headstrong. Now, as to your proposal, I am afraid it is out of the question. Should you or your army require medical attention, food, clothing, or help upon your way, you will find us only too willing to assist."
Cluny interrupted rudely by pounding upon the table until the abbot was silenced. He pointed a claw at Redtooth.
"Read them the articles."
Redtooth held up a tattered parchment. He cleared his throat.
"These are the articles of surrender, to be obeyed by all creatures who come under the claw of Cluny the Scourge or any of his commanders. 1. Surrender will be total and unconditional. 2. Cluny will execute the leaders of all who choose to oppose him. 3. All property conquered will belong solely to Cluny the Scourge. This includes homes, food, crops, land, and additionally all creatures dwelling on said property. They shall be owned by Cluny." Thwack.
Redtooth got no further. Unable to contain himself, Matthias sent his staff ripping through the middle of the articles. As the torn document fluttered to the floor, Redtooth launched himself at Matthias with a snarl. The rat was actually in midair when a huge blunt paw knocked him flat. He lay stunned with Constance standing over him.
"Why pick on a small mouse? Surely a big strong rat like you can deal with an old badger. Come on, try me for size."
It was only the timely intervention of Abbot Mortimer that saved Redtooth's life. "Constance, would you please let the rat up? Much as I would like to see him get his just deserts, you must remember we cannot break the law of hospitality in our abbey." Redtooth staggered shakily to his feet, backing warily away from the badger. Cluny spoke as if nothing had occurred.
"You, Abbot Mouse, You have until tomorrow evening to give me your answer.
Not normally given to anger, the abbot stared Cluny in the eye, his face a mask of cold fury.
I will not need until tomorrow, Rat. You can have my answer now. How dare you come here with your robber band to read articles of death and slavery to me? I tell you that neither you nor your army will ever set paw or claw inside Redwall. Not while I or any of my creatures have breath in our bodies to fight and resist you. That is my solemn word.
Cluny sneered and turned on his heel. Followed by Redtooth, he stamped out. On the stairs between Cavern Hole and Great Hall, he stopped and turned, his cold voice echoing between both chambers.
Then die, all of you. Every male, female, and young one, you have refused my terms. Now you will suffer the punishment of Cluny. You will beg on your knees for death to come swiftly, but I shall make your torment loud and long before you die.
It was then that Constance did something that creatures would speak of in years to come. Exerting the full strength of a female badger, she lifted the massive Cavern Hole dining table. It was a huge, solid oaken thing that no dozen mice could even move. Dishes clattered and food spilled as Constance heaved the table above her head. Her voice was a roar.
Get out, rats! Leave this abbey! I'm weary of your voices. Hurry, before I break the laws of hospitality and ask the abbot's pardon later. Go, while you still have skulls!
With the best grace he could muster, Cluny walked rather quickly up the stairs, followed by Redtooth, who laughed nervously.
Big country bumpkin, eh, chief? One more word from you back there, and she'd have thrown that table and crushed us.
Remembering who it was that he had spoken to in this insolent fashion, Redtooth cringed, expecting Cluny to deal him a blow for impudence. But nothing happened. Cluny was standing transfixed. Oblivious to all about him, even Matthias and the abbot who had followed him out, Cluny stood staring at the tapestry.
"Who is that mouse?" he gasped.
Matthias followed the direction of the rat's gaze. He walked to the tapestry with his paw outstretched.
"Do you mean this mouse?"
Cluny nodded dumbly. Matthias, still with his paw outstretched, declared proudly,
"This is Martin the Warrior. He founded our order, and I'll tell you something else, Rat. Martin was the bravest mouse that ever lived. If he were here today, he'd just take up his big sword and send you and all your bullies packing. Those of you he didn't chop up into crow meat."
Much to everyone's surprise, Cluny allowed himself to be shown out. He was like one in a daze all the way back to the gatehouse. A hush fell over the mice on guard as Cluny and Redtooth were let out onto the road. Swiftly, the horde gathered around the warlord and his lieutenant. They awaited orders. Deputizing for Cluny, Redtooth called out,
"Form up! Back to the church, everyone!"
Cluny marched automatically, shaking his head in disbelief. Martin the Warrior, the mouse who pursued him through his nightmares. What did it mean? As Redtooth marched away, a voice hailed him from the wall. He turned and looked upwards. The torn articles, the parchment wrapped around a fistful of rotting vegetables, splattered in his face. Livid with rage, he clawed the foul mess from his eyes, and saw Constance leaning over the parapet with a wicked grin of delight in her striped muzzle. The badger shouted mockingly,
"Don't forget to call again, Rat. I'd be delighted to see you. We've got some unfinished business that I'm looking forward to settling. Just you and me, Redtooth."
Before the rat could reply, she had vanished from sight.
Chapter 11. Later that evening, Brother Alf was patrolling his stretch of wall when he noticed a movement in the ferns at the edge of Mossflower Wood. Constance and Matthias were summoned hastily. They peered over the parapet. Brother Alf pointed to where he had seen the ferns moving.
"Over there, to the right of that aspen. Look, they're moving again."
Matthias had better nocturnal vision than either of his friends. He was the first to recognize the forlorn figure that rolled onto the grass.
"It's Ambrose Spike. He's hurt. Quick, let's get down there."
"Hold fast," Constance warned. "It may be a trap."
Matthias was loath to hang about while a creature was lying injured within his sight, but he had to heed his friend's advice. There just might be some of Cluny's rats lying in ambush for any creature that ventured into the shadowy fringes of Mossflower. However, Matthias was growing impatient.
"We can't leave poor Ambrose lying out there, Constance. He'll die. We've got to do something."
The badger sat down with her snout between her paws.
"Yes, we've got to think. Anyone got an idea?"
The two mice joined her. Hardly had Matthias sat down when he leaped up again.
"I've got it. Stay here, I'll be back in a tick."
Brother Alf watched the little figure flip-flopping off. He gave a sigh and shook his head.
"What do you suppose our Matthias is up to?"
The badger smiled affectionately. More and more she was coming to trust Matthias's natural skill as a leader and tactician.
"Don't fret, Brother Alf. Whatever it is, you can bet your habit it'll be an original Matthias gem. That young mouse has got more in his head than a pile of acorns."
Brother Alf looked out at the still form in the grass.
"It may be too late. Ambrose isn't even twitching. Look, he's not rolled up in a ball anymore."
Further speculation was curtailed by the appearance of Matthias. With him were half a dozen moles. Their leader glanced out at the hedgehog. He scratched some hasty calculations on the wall with his claw, then turned to Matthias.
"Oh, I think we can get yon edge pig back, sir. You'm got us out in the gate and stand watch."
Turning to his team, the foremole, for this was his official title, began discussing tunnel width, coupled with reverse prickle drag, forward traction, and all the other specialist details that are routine to the average qualified tunnel mole. Matthias whispered to Constance and Brother Alf.
"Foremole and his crew are first class at rescue work. They've often rescued burrowers from cave-ins. All we have to do is stand guard by the southeast wicket gate until they're safely back."
"Right, what are we waiting for? Let's go,"
said the badger. Silently they slid outside the small green-painted iron door. Matthias, straining his eyes anxiously to see if there were any signs of life in the hedgehog. He still lay about 150 mouse paces from where they stood. The moles unraveled a rope sling. Foremole stood watching as two of his team started to dig. Matthias looked on in wonderment. One minute they were above ground. A moment later, there was a veritable shower of loam and topsoil as they vanished beneath the earth. Nature's own technicians. In a trice they were back, moist snouts poking from the excavation. They made their ground report to Foremole.
"Arr, him be nice and soft, sir. Ain't no rock nor root to stop us. Straight fur, we me thinkin'."
Satisfied, Foremole moved towards the test hole with the rest of his team.
"Oil dig ahead, yum warden workins. Gaffer and Marge, follow up shorten."
He tugged his snout respectfully to Matthias and Constance.
"Yum, gunnel beast, bye-bye here till us buck."
Another quick shower of soft, dark earth, and the moles were lost to view beneath the ground surface. Constance sniffed the breeze as Matthias turned his ears to the nighttime woodland sounds. They watched the ground humping into a continuous hillock that progressed farther as the moles tunneled towards Ambrose Spike. The night remained calm and still, but Matthias and Constance stayed alert,
both knowing if they failed to observe this rudimentary law of nature, the penalty could be fatal. Matthias did a little shuffle of excitement.
Look, they've come up right under poor old Ambrose. My word, what splendid moles! Good heavens, he's vanished completely. They must have him inside the tunnel.
In a surprisingly short time, the tunnelers were back. Emerging from the hole, they carried the hedgehog in the rope sling across their backs, refusing any help from the badger or the mouse. Formal merely tugged his snout.
Nay, nay, you uns only get your paws dirted.
As swiftly as possible, Ambrose was hurried to the abbey infirmary in sickbay. He was attended by the abbot himself. A hasty diagnosis revealed that the hedgehog was suffering from a long, jagged wound that ran from the back of his ear to the tip of his paw. Brother Alf nodded sympathetically.
That's probably what caused old Ambrose to pass out. Pain and loss of blood. He must have travelled a fair way in that condition. Do you think he'll live, Father Abbot?
The abbot chuckled quietly. He cleaned the long, ugly wound and applied a poultice of herbs.
No cause for alarm, Brother Alf. Ambrose's spike is made of leather and needles. Tough as a boulder, this old ruffian is. Look, he's beginning to come around already. Sure enough, after some peculiar grunts and much curling and uncurling, the hedgehog opened his eyes and looked about.
Oh, my aching ear! Father Abbot, you wouldn't see a poor son of the spike suffering like this without a drop of last October's nut-brown ale to wet his parched gullet, he pleaded.
All the creatures laughed aloud with delight and relief at seeing their old friend alive and well once again. Matthias was astonished at the amount of nut-brown ale that Ambrose supped before he deemed himself fit enough to make a report. The hedgehog smacked his lips noisily.
Ah, that's better. Now let me see. I did as you asked me, gave as many creatures fair warning as I could. The Joseph Bell helped a great deal to warn everyone. Well, to cut a long story short, it must have been near noon when I stopped at Vole Bank. I told the Voles the bad news, and blow me if that little ninny Colin Vole didn't go to shrieking and screaming all over the place as to how they'd all be murdered in their beds. Believe me, there was no way of silencing the daft young thing. Anyhow, his noise must have alerted a pack of those rats who were out foraging. Before you could say knife, they were upon us. There was such a gang of them that I couldn't do anything. I had to curl up. They carried off young Colin and his mum and dad, but try as they would, there was no laying claws on Ambrose Spike, no sir. Then one of them had a go at me with a point of an iron churchyard railing. Stabbed away at me, the devil did. They reckoned I was dead. Said I was too spiky to eat, so they dragged the Vole family off, and I lay still until the coast was clear. I made it as far as Mossflower, and that's all I can remember. Is there any more left in that jug? This wound's giving me jip. I need ale for medicinal purposes, Father Abbot.
Matthias groaned and hung his head in despair. The Vole family taken captive. Death or slavery was all the wretched creatures could look forward to. Emboldened by the rescue of the hedgehog, Matthias was about to suggest that he and Constance, together with some hand-picked helpers, venture to undertake a rescue mission to St. Ninian's Church. It was as if the abbot and Constance both read his thoughts at the same time. Abbot Mortimer sighed and shook his head at Matthias. The badger was more voluble.
"Matthias, forget it. Abandon any hopes you have of snatching the Vole family from under Cluny's nose. Imagine it. A few of us going up against several hundred armed rats in their own camp. Ridiculous. A fat lot of good we'd be as defenders of Redwall with our heads fixed to Cluny's standard. Matthias, you're a very brave young mouse, so please try to set an example to the rest by not becoming a foolish or dead one."
On reflection, Matthias could see the wisdom of the badger's counsel. Long after they had all retired for the night, he sat up thinking. 100 mad ideas pounded through his brain, each one wilder than the last. Feeling at a loss,
he wandered up into Great Hall and stood in front of the tapestry. Without consciously realizing it, he found himself talking to Martin the Warrior.
"Oh, Martin, what would you have done in my place? I know that I'm only a young mouse, a novice, not even a proper Red Wall member yet. But once you were young too, I know what you would have done. You'd have buckled on your armor, picked up your mighty sword, gone down to that church and battled with the rats until they released the voles or perished beneath your blade. But alas, those days are gone. I have no magic sword to aid me, only the advice of my elders and betters, to which I must listen."
Matthias sat down upon the cool stone floor. He gazed longingly up at Martin the Warrior, so proud, so brave. What a dashing figure he cut! Looking back down to himself in his baggy green robes and oversized sandals, Matthias felt hot tears of shame and frustration spilling from his eyes and dripping on his young whiskers. Unable to stop himself, he wept freely. The soft touch of a gentle paw on his back caused him to look around. It was Cornflower. Matthias wished he were dead. He quickly turned his face away, knowing she could see his tears.
"Cornflower, please go away," Matthias sobbed.
The little field mouse, however, would not go. She sat down on the floor next to Matthias. Taking the edge of her pinafore, she softly wiped away his tears. For such a shy little mouse, she had quite a bit to say.
"Matthias, don't be ashamed. I know why you cry and grieve. It is because you are kind and good, not a hard-hearted, pitiless rat like Cluny. Please listen to me. Even the strongest and bravest must sometimes weep. It shows they have a great heart, one that can feel compassion for others. You are brave, Matthias. Already you have done great things for one so young. I am only a simple country-bred field mouse, but even I can see the courage and leadership in you. A burning brand shows the way, and each day your flame grows brighter. There is none like you, Matthias. You have the sign of greatness upon you. One day Redwall and all the land will be indebted to you. Matthias, you are a true warrior."
Matthias, with his eyes dry and his head held high, stood up. He felt himself stand taller than he ever had. He helped Cornflower to her feet and bowed to her.
"Cornflower, how can I ever thank you for what you have said? You too are a very special mouse. It is late now. Go and get some rest. I think I will stay here a while longer."
The field mouse untied her headband. It was her favorite one, pale yellow bordered with the cornflowers after which she was named. She tied it to Matthias's arm, the right one, just above the elbow. A maiden's colors for her champion warrior. Silently she crept off. Matthias could feel his heart beating against his chest. He spoke to the image of Martin.
"Thank you, warrior. You spoke to me through Cornflower. You gave me the sign that I asked of you."
Chapter 12. At the Church of St. Ninian, Cluny sat in the wreckage of what had once been a pulpit. Red Tooth, Dark Claw, Cheese Thief, and Fangburn lounged about at his feet on old burst hassocks. Cluny was in one of his strange moods again. He showed little interest in the captive vole family, merely ordering that they be kept under guard until he found time to deal with them. Most of his army slept in the choir loft or the Lady Chapel. The rest were posted on sentry duty outside. Cautiously his captains watched the warlord. Cluny's long tail swished restlessly. The single eye stared at a carved eagle holding the rotting lectern on its outspread wings. What thoughts occupied the dark, devious mind of Cluny the Scourge? Finally he looked up and spoke.
"Go and get Shadow. Bring him here to me."
Darkclaw and Fangburn scurried off to obey the command. Silently the others waited, their eyes glinting in evil anticipation. The chief had a plan. Like all of his schemes, it would be cunningly simple and wickedly brilliant. There was no better general than Clooney when it came to strategy. Shadow had been with Clooney for many years. Nobody was sure if he was rat or weasel, or even a bit of both. He was very lithe and wiry, and his long, sinewy body was covered in sleek black fur. There was no hint of another color in his coat. It was blacker than moonless midnight. His eyes were strangely slanted, black, without any brightness in them. The eyes of Shadow were like those of a dead thing. He stood before Clooney, who had to strain his one eye against the darkness of the church to make sure he was really there.
"Shadow, is that you?"
The reply sounded like a whisper of wet silk across a smooth slate.
"Clooney, I am here. Why do you want Shadow?"
The captain shivered at the sound of the voice. Clooney leaned forward.
"Did you see the walls of that abbey today?"
"I was there. Shadow sees all."
"Tell me true, could you climb them?"
"No beast I know of could climb those walls."
"Except you?"
"Except me."
Clooney gestured with his tail.
"Come closer, then. I will tell you what must be done."
Shadow sat on the top pulpit step. Clooney issued his orders.
"You will climb the abbey wall. Many sentries patrol the top of the wall. Take the utmost care. If you get captured, you are of no use to me. There is no point in one alone trying to attack the gatehouse and open the door. It is too well guarded, so forget the gate."
Shadow gave no hint that Clooney had inadvertently read his mind. He remained motionless as Clooney continued.
"Once you have scaled the wall, make for the main abbey door. Should it be locked for the night, you will use all your skill to open it without any noise. It is vital that you get inside. The first room you will find yourself in is the main one. The mice call it Great Hall. Walk in, turn around, and on the left wall facing you is a long tapestry covered in pictures and designs. Now, listen carefully. In the bottom right-hand corner of that tapestry is a picture of a mouse dressed in armor, leaning on a big sword. I want it. Cut it, rip it, or tear it out, but get it for me. I must have it. Don't come back without it, Shadow."
Puzzlement was written on the faces of the four captains who had overheard the orders. A picture of a mouse? Clooney had never been known as a collector of pictures. Fangburn whispered to Cheese Thief,
"What use is a picture of a mouse to the chief?"
Clooney heard. He came to the edge of the pulpit. Grasping the sides of the lectern, he surveyed his small congregation like some satanic minister.
"Ah, Brother Fangburn, let me explain. I will tell you why it is that you and all your kind will forever remain servants, why I shall always be the master. Did you not see the faces of those mice today? The mere mention of Martin the Warrior sends them into ecstasies. Don't you see? He is their symbol. His name means the same to those mice as mine does to the Horde. In a different way, maybe. Martin is some sort of angel. I'm the opposite. Think for a moment. If anything were to happen to me, you'd all be a leaderless rabble, a headless mob. So, if the mice were to lose their most precious omen, the picture of Martin, where would that leave them?"
Red Tooth slapped his haunches. He rocked to and fro, sniggering with uncontrolled glee.
"Brilliant, Chief! Diabolical! They'd just be a crowd of terrified little mice without their wonderful Martin."
Clooney's tail banged down on the rotting lectern, smashing it into several fragments.
"And that's when we'll strike."
The powerful tail lashed backwards, wrapping itself around Shadow's body. He was dragged forward, face to face with his master. Clooney's rancid breath blasted into Shadow's face as he ground out each syllable.
"Bring that picture back here to me. Do this, and your reward will be great when I sit on the abbot's chair in Redwall Abbey. But fail me, and your screams will be heard far beyond the woodland and meadows."
Clooney the Scourge had spoken.
Chapter 13. The sun's first rays flung wide the gates of dawn. The inhabitants of Redwall were already up and about. After breakfast, the abbot issued daily orders. All those not employed defending the abbey would husband the crops and gather in supplies for the larders in the event of a prolonged siege. Young otters collected watercress and fished. Cornflower headed a party of mice to reap the early cereal crops. More youngsters tended the salad gardens. The bright summer morning hummed to the bustle of industrious woodlanders. Ambrose Spike, now sufficiently recovered, sat in the storeroom taking stock. Lots of nuts and preserved berries from last autumn. Apples and pears aplenty. Unfortunately, the hedgehog could not check the cellars. Brother Edmund and Friar Hugo had the only two keys. He licked his lips at the thought of barrels of nut-brown ale, strong cider, creamy stout, and the little kegs. Ah, the dear little kegs! Full of elderberry wine, mulberry brandy, blackcurrant port, and wild grape sherry.
"You're a reg pig. Where am I so putting these roots and dandelions? Astin' up them rotten ivy."
Ambrose sighed wistfully as he attended the two moles staggering under a bundle of dandelions and tubers.
"Arr, hold 'em little tatters steady, Bill. You're tip 'em up, Lego."
More baby moles. Ambrose poured the bandage on his wound. A hedgehog's work was never done. Matthias and Constance stood on the cloisters. They had taken charge of weapon training. The woodlanders were each showing off their special skills. In more peaceful days, these skills had only been used at fairs and sporting contests. But now, when the need arose, they would be used with more deadly effect. The otters carried bags of smooth pebbles, which they hurled from vine slings with great force and accuracy. Groups of field mouse archers knocked thistledown shafts to the strings of their longbows. Many a marauding bird had been driven off by these same tiny archers. Bands of Redwall mice practiced at thrust and parry with staves. Below the wall on the abbey grass, Formole directed his crew as they dug a trench. This was lined with sharpened stakes by a solitary beaver. A system of ropes and pulleys carried the baskets of stone and trench debris up to the ramparts. Defenders piled it in heaps at the edge of the parapet. Matthias took a group of Redwall mice to instruct in the use of the quarterstaff. He had discovered in himself a natural skill with the long ash pole. None of the mice had ever competed in any type of violent sport. They were awkward and timid. But as it was a personal choice between learning cudgel and wrestling from Constance, or quarterstaff from Matthias, to a mouse they had opted for the latter. Matthias found he had to be quite severe with them. Accordingly, he dealt out some hefty blows and hard falls to make the more timid souls angry enough to retaliate.
"Keep that head guarded, Brother Antony." Thwack. "I warned you, brother. Now look out, I'm coming after you again." Thwack. "No, no, don't just stand there, brother. Defend yourself. Hit out at me." Thwack, crack.
This time Matthias sat down hard, rubbing dazedly at his sore head. Constance chuckled.
"Well, Matthias, you've only yourself to blame. You asked Brother Antony to hit out at you, and my word, he certainly obliged. I'll have to recruit him for my cudgel class. He shows promise."
Matthias stood up, smiling ruefully. He rested on his staff.
"Yes, he's very strong.
But I do wish that we had some real weapons of war, swords and daggers and such like. We won't kill many rats with wooden staves."
"Maybe not," the badger replied,